Hello, and welcome to the show Gold Squadron Gaze. It's the podcast where two Star Wars-loving gays break down each episode of their favorite Star Wars TV shows, while also being gay as hell. I'm your host, Bradley Brower.
I'm your other host, Charles Rogers, and welcome back to the show, Bradley, after spending some time away.
Back again.
Yep. How was not having to be on episodes for another 2 weeks? You feel good? You feel refreshed?
Feels exactly the same as I edit the episodes, so I feel like I haven't left.
That is true, and shout out to Bradley. You had to do a significant editing job on one of them.
I did.
Due to a technical issue.
Technical issue. Although it was good. I mean, at least it was a good episode, because had it not been an episode that I enjoyed, I probably would not have wanted to re-edit that episode. And I would have been like, this is terrible. You're just going to deal with it.
Well, I'm glad you did. And everybody can go check out our bank of 4 Legends episodes that I did, covering 3 books I really like and 1 book series I wasn't very familiar with. So going forward, I'm sure some of you may have looked at the episode title and gone, are we still on that? And yes, we're still on that. We are not doing TV currently. We'll get to why in a second. We are going to be doing something else. But before we get into the episode proper, I just want to take a minute to speak directly to our audience and say thank you for continuing to listen to the show. I know that we pivoted very quickly. We pivoted right in the middle of doing a series, literally to the point where we have an episode on the back burner that's been sitting in queue ready to go for like 4 months that we haven't been able to really... Oh, I don't think it's been that long. I think it's been 2 or 3 months, maybe 4.
It's been
90 days. It's been 90 days this episode's been in the can. I know that doing the Legends content and doing the book content is a bit of a change. And for those of you who have stuck around, or those of you who have checked us out, you know, because we're doing something different, I just want to say a personal thank you from me for that. I also have another message to deliver that's not quite so nice.
Okay.
Which is getting into the, if you are just now joining us, why are we not talking about a TV show, despite the fact that Bradley's intro says TV? Well, the WGA is no longer on strike. This is true. However, hooray, yes.
Hooray.
We love that the writers fucking bent the AMPTP over and just fucking beat a deal out of them. That was fantastic. SAG-AFTRA is still on strike. And actually, as of recording this, it is October the 12th. It's going pretty badly. They were negotiating for about a week and a half. It all fell through this morning. They're not talking to each other right now. We don't know how long this is going to be. But SAG-AFTRA are the ones who specifically requested people don't do promo for current shows and don't do rewatches for old shows on streaming platform. That was a SAG-AFTRA request, not a WGA request. I understand that for some people, the content leans more toward review or critique. We fall into that category. We have made the choice not to cover the Ahsoka show while the SAG-AFTRA strike is ongoing, in solidarity with that ongoing strike. Now, I already hear the criticism to this, and I want to highlight a specific piece of criticism, and I didn't tell Bradley this was coming. Also, he's not on Twitter, so yeah, he didn't see this. But Bradley, I want to read to you a Twitter comment from the opposing side of this. So our friends over at RuPaul's Pod Race are on hiatus.
Right.
And they're on hiatus for the duration of the strike. They may or may not come back to do High Republic stuff. I don't know. I don't want to make promises on their behalf. Right now they're on hiatus. Claudia, who is one of the hosts, wrote an article about Ahsoka as a journalist, as a critic. The RuPaul's Pod Race account retweeted it and said something to the effect of, we're not covering Ahsoka because of the WGA strike. Here is this article Claudia wrote. And someone whose ad I'm not going to read replied this. And I want you to brace yourself, Bradley. Are you braced?
I'm braced.
I'm going to try to read this phonetically as it's written. No one could care about another podcaster's thoughts, and no one cares that you didn't review it just because you stand with a union that you don't even work for, and you're nowhere as educated as people like me who read books, comics, games, hit enter, so new paragraph, audio dramas, to even give an input. I mostly did this because I wanted to see Bradley's face in the screen. I do want to respond to this directly here. And I just want to say, if you look back at our criteria on this podcast, I think that it's very clear in our recent output that I am someone who reads books and comics, and I even play games and listen to audio dramas.
You do all those things.
These are all things that I do. And I think I have demonstrated this. So I feel like, according to the logic of this comment, I have the authority here to say, hey, bootlicking asshole, we're not doing it because we're in the union. We're doing it because we looked at a group of fucking millionaires and a group of people who 90% of them don't have fucking health insurance and went, what do we do to support the people that don't have fucking health insurance? Because it's the right goddamn thing to do, you pretentious, illiterate fuck. You don't have to be in the union or want to be in the union to support the union, my God.
Right.
Jesus Christ, dude. Like, how's that fucking boot leather taste? Like, and I know some people are covering things as, like, incapacity as critics and reviewers, and I don't want to say everybody should do exactly what we're doing, but this is a common refrain that I hear from people when I mention that we're not doing stuff for SAG, so I just wanted to respond to it so you could hear my tone of voice, because I'm a little annoyed right now. And speaking of someone who is constantly channeling their anger into, I am great at this, Bradley.
I mean, you are so literate. And
I'm so literate.
You read comics and you
it's all that books. Reading the books and reading the comics and reading the games and reading the audiobooks dramas.
That's exactly what it is.
I might have glossed over that. They fucking wrote audiobooks dramas.
Yeah, I like how they singled out audio dramas. Like, they're like, whoa, I'm a real fan.
They hit enter and then wrote audiobooks dramas.
You know, they forgot to put that they also collect the trading cards. They also
They collect Topps trading cards.
Yep, you forgot that part.
Jesus Christ. And you know what the funniest bit of this is to me, other than the fact that it's just deep throating that boot to the point that your dentist is definitely gonna know about it? It's the fact that they commented this on Rupe Alps, who, like, even before the strikes, were some of the people doing the most book content.
Yeah,
out of anybody.
Seems so odd.
This is why you should not go on Twitter.
Yeah, it's too much of a rabbit hole, because it's like, why would you go out of your way to find this podcast and then, like, look, you know what I mean? Like, they clearly listen to the podcast, because how else would they, like, just randomly, like, post on?
Well, they clearly don't. Here's the thing. They clearly don't, because if they had listened to any of the podcast, like, I'm pretty sure the last few episodes, either the last few episodes of book content, or there was book content really recently.
Okay.
Because they, like, had just done something, I think, with Convergence when they went on hiatus. Absolutely, absolutely weird. Crazy to me. Anyway, so don't go on Twitter. It's never stupid. So I'm going to keep dunking on this person because this is really funny, but I promise I'm going to stop after this.
Okay.
Hope, our friend Hope Mullinex from Jagos and Jedi and For Light and Dice, I briefly forgot the name of my own podcast, responded basically saying, don't be a dick about this, you know, you're being an asshole. To which the person replied, I don't need people's negative reviews showing up on my timeline, and especially from those who don't know much about Star Wars outside of the movies and TV shows. And I put the comma in specifically, like, because that's how it's written. And I'm like, okay, first of all, this article was not a negative review.
Right.
Like, it's about a specific thing. It's not that. I can see how you would think that if you didn't read the article, which I did, and I don't necessarily agree with everything Claudia said, but she makes her points very, very well. But I think Hope summed up my biggest response, which is half of Rupalp's Padres episodes are books.
Yeah, there you go. That's
fucking amazing. Anyway, speaking of anger, let's talk about what we're doing, because we're doing something different for a couple
Correct.
Of weeks.
Something we're doing, I've never thought about doing ever.
Yes, I have definitely not been pitching this to you since we reviewed Inquisitor Rise of the Red Blade. I have been relentlessly pitching this idea to Bradley. I'm like, please, can we do a variation of this? We are going to cover the 2017 run of Darth Vader. So we picked comics, and we specifically picked comics, one, because Bradley likes Inquisitors. Spoiler, there's a lot of Inquisitors in this. But also because Darth Vader is in an interesting spot where it stands alone as a self-contained story. If you read the 25 issues, it will not cross over with any other comics. It will not reference the events of any other comics in a way that's not easily glossed over. And you can read it beginning to end and get a full story. It's not like the other interconnected runs. This one is a nice 25 issue run that largely keeps contained on itself. The other thing is it's really fucking easy to access. It's on Marvel Unlimited. Just get Marvel Unlimited. Not only will you get this comic, access to this comic as much as you want, you'll get a huge Marvel Comics library. Like, it's so... If you want to be a Star Wars comics person and catch up, it's like 8 years of Star Wars comics is in this app. It's subscription-based, $9.99 a month. This is not a sponsored plug. I promise, I just really like Marvel Unlimited. I think their dynamic reader is a really great is a really great way of reading these things. So that's how we're reading it. And if you're following along with some of our other podcasts in our sphere, you may find it useful to read other non-Star Wars Marvel comics. Please listen to Marvelous Divas. They are doing House of M right now, and it is very good. I have never read it, but now I want to read more X-Men comics. Okay, all of this to say we are covering Darth Vader and Bradley. Today we will be covering issues number 1 through 6. So the first arc, the arc is titled The Chosen One. So the issues are The Chosen One's parts 1 through 6. Would you like some additional information, Bradley, about The Chosen One arc of Darth Vader 2017?
Yes.
Wonderful. You couldn't really say no.
I know. What was I going to say? No, I think we're good.
Somebody did. I think Andy was like, what happens if I say no? And I'm like, well, right. I do it anyway.
Right. We stop and then we reset and we say, Andy,
try it again.
Say yes.
You have to say yes.
Say your line. Thank you.
There's a script. Okay. Say your line. Read off the page the opinions right. I gave you to say.
Right.
So all of Darth Vader, issues number 1 through 25, they're all written by the same writer, so I'm only going to talk about him once up front. And that gentleman is one of my favorite Star Wars writers, because if I put my hand over his last name, I can pretend I wrote some of the best Star Wars content. This is a gentleman who shares my name. His name is Charles Soule. Charles Soule has been writing for about 10 years. He was apparently a lawyer before he got into writing comics. I don't know how he made this transition, but he did. He has written for DC Comics. He has written for Marvel Comics, apparently. But we are most concerned about Star Wars, for which he has written just a fuckload of comics. Like, when we did the Dooku Jedi Lost episode, I said basically all of Star Wars is written by Charles Soule and Kevin Scott. Yeah, he's written as many, if not more, comics than Kevin Scott has. I haven't checked. He wrote Lando. He wrote the Poe Dameron arc that Oscar Isaac has actually apparently read. Star Wars, The Rise of Kylo Ren. He is currently writing the mainline Star Wars run, and he is a High Republic author. He wrote the very first sort of pilot novel to the High Republic, Light of the Jedi. Multiple short stories in it. He's going to be writing the final novel in Phase 3. He's written some comics. So this dude has written just a lot of Star Wars. I do want to highlight his new book that either just came out or it's about to come out. It's a children's book called The High Republic, Jedi Brave in Every Way. And it was written with him and his daughter. Wrote it together.
Sweet.
So Charles Soule rules. That is who wrote this comic. I am not going to go through the resumes of all of the various people that also worked on it, but just to give the credit where the credit is due, these are the other people who worked on the first 6 issues. I'm going to try to get better at saying this name as we progress through, because he is the penciler for all of Darth Vader, is a gentleman named Giuseppe Camuncoli, I think is how you say this last name. First 6 issues were inked by Cam Smith. The letterer was Joe Caramagna, and the colorist was David Curiel.
Interesting. So
that is the people who worked on this comic. Bradley, do you have an opinion on that before we get started?
Before we get started, I don't know if you even know the answer to this question, but because it's, I don't know, digital, or like they clearly make it on a computer now. It's not like they do it, you know what I mean? It's not like they hand draw all this stuff and then I don't know. I don't know how comics work nowadays. Like maybe they,
you know what I mean?
Like do they ink
I don't
anything?
Know. That is an excellent question of what an inker does, because they're scanned in digitally, but I don't know if they're drawn I imagine they're drawn digitally.
Right.
That is an excellent question.
And then maybe they're just they're just still called inkers. Like maybe it's not traditionally, like they're taking literal ink and putting it on.
I believe that's what's going on. My theory, at any rate, I am not a comics books person, so I could not tell you definitively. My theory is that it's the same thing, because inking, like setting the lines down,
right,
I imagine is probably, it's a specialized task.
Right.
So it's the same as if, you know, a digital artist like will sketch something out.
Right.
And then
they'll have
to go in and ink it.
And like, add the lines, yeah.
Our Gold Squadron little things that you can see on this, like anywhere on our branding. So you can see that our artist Jordan sketched those first.
Right.
And then when she had a sketch, she inked in the specific lines and then she did the coloring.
So she's all three.
She's all three. She does all three when she does her occasional comic strip. Yeah, but those are the people, who are credited on this, are responsible for the main body of the comic. So this week on Darth Vader, goes looking for a kyber crystal that he can turn into his classic iconic lightsaber. Bradley, what was one thing you liked about this arc and one thing you did not? That was completely off the cuff, by the way. Did not write a thing to begin with. What was one thing you liked about this arc and one thing you did not?
I actually really like, this is a random thing. I think it's in the second episode or the second issue. I'm gonna get those verbiage confused as we talk about this. The second issue, when he goes to the outpost, the Jedi outpost, and there's all these clones on the Jedi outpost inventorying all the Jedi stuff. When the clones were talking in the beginning, in my brain, as I was reading it, I was doing it in Dee Bradley Baker's voice. So it made it really funny. I don't know why. I was just like enjoying, like, oh, this is clone chatter. Like they're just having this little conversation and then, oh, Darth Vader shows up and fucks them all up. Like I just thought it was really funny. Like just, it is played out in my head hilariously. That has nothing to do with the actual story. I just thought it was funny. One thing I didn't like, I didn't like how they introduced a new character, the Jedi Master character, and then just kind of killed him later on. Like, it's just like, okay, he's done. Like, that's no fun. Like, I wanted him to maybe be more having something to do throughout the rest of the series. But I mean, I thought his character was good and I liked what he did and I liked how he wasn't just somebody that Darth Vader could just push over in 3 seconds and then call it a day. So I think I liked that, but other than that I was like, oh, I kind of wanted more from this new character because he was interesting at least.
Yeah, one thing that I really liked and I'll just address it overall, I particularly liked it in issue one, but I liked it overall in the comic, was the relationship between Palpatine and Vader. And we're gonna see this like throughout the entire run of the comic, is going to kind of underpin the way that Palpatine is kind of using these very smooth words with Vader and is just fucking him around constantly. Like he'll say like, oh, you're my friend, but if you ever touch me with the Force again, I will fucking kill you.
I'll fucking kill you. Yeah.
It's an interesting dynamic because we know that Palpatine is the master and Vader is the apprentice. This comic really takes the time when it has a scene with Palpatine to lean into what that master and apprentice relationship means. And it reminds me a lot in the best ways of the Lords of the Sith novel. That this is a really good companion piece to that. And I think Charles Soule writes Palpatine really, really well. Palpatine, you know, turns up in other stuff that he's written, obviously, and he writes Palpatine so well. And I liked that a lot. I really enjoyed that. One thing I didn't like, the first arc, which mainly centers around Vader trying to get this kyber crystal, I thought, as far as Vader's characterization goes, the first two issues were really strong. The first issue stronger than the second one, and then the way it ended, issue 5 with the sort of climax, was a really good Vader moment. I thought 3 and 4 were a little weak. Like, I have one note for the entirety of issues 3 and 4, and it is nothing to do with Vader. It has nothing to do with him. He's just kind of there. He powers through. He destroys the town and kills a bunch of people for the evils and takes the lightsaber and kills the guy. And that's basically, like, he doesn't really face any choices. We don't really learn anything about Vader through these issues. So that was the one thing that as I was reading through, I found myself kind of going, next panel, next panel, next panel, next panel, next panel. Let's get to the stuff that I'm actually here for. Right. And I think it goes back to what you were saying too. They introduced this Jedi character. He's interesting, and we'll get to him in a minute. He's interesting. We don't get a lot with him. He doesn't operate very much as a foil for Vader, I felt like. He's just an obstacle for Vader to overcome. And Vader overcomes him. And there's really no tension there, because we know Vader's gonna obviously win. We know what's gonna happen here. So that was the one thing. If I had to pick something that I disliked, I would say that would be that one. Once again, I'm only working off, so Bradley's given me like his notes that he took to remind himself what happened in each issue. I figured we'd just do this like an episode, since I have so few notes. And just work off your notes here, sure. That you wrote. So in issue 1 of Darth Vader, we pick up right where we left off in Revenge of the Sith, with Darth Vader and Palpatine moments after Vader's creation. Palpatine takes Vader to observe the melting down of the Jedi lightsabers in a large public ceremony. He informs Vader that Vader needs his own Sith lightsaber. In order to get that, he will need a red crystal, and he will need to bleed the crystal. He will need to basically hurt it, infuse it with pain to turn it red. Vader is dropped off randomly in the desert and acquires a ship. And that is issue 1. My only note that I didn't already address, the Palpatine and Vader stuff, which issue 1 really gets into Palpatine and Vader. Did you notice Yoda's lightsaber?
No, I did not.
Masa Maeda holds up specifically Yoda's lightsaber.
Oh.
Would it surprise you to learn that this became retroactively controversial?
I would not be surprised, but I don't see how.
Cast your mind back to a show on a streaming platform wherein the character of Luke Skywalker has Yoda's lightsaber for some reason. Do you remember that scene?
I didn't even know he had that. Oh, that whole scene.
Yeah, with Grogu.
Yes, with Grogu. Oh, okay.
When he has the Yoda's lightsaber. So when that episode aired, I mentioned it on our coverage. People were like, wait a minute, Yoda's lightsaber got destroyed.
Right.
And so clearly this is the lightsaber he drops, that he loses in the Senate fight.
Sure.
And it's being tossed in to destroy symbolically with all of the other Jedi lightsabers.
Of course.
When that episode aired, people were like, wait a minute, that got destroyed. Is this a giant continuity error that's going to break canon?
I'm going to go with no, because someone's going to write a short story about how a clone grabbed it out of the fire real quick before it blew up and then sold it on the black market or some bullshit or something. I don't know.
Would it surprise you to learn the solution was even more simple than that?
Oh God, what is it?
Yoda's 900 years old. He has more than one lightsaber.
Oh, shut the fuck. That's
he
so
has
stupid.
More than one.
Of course he does.
There's a visual dictionary for like Empire Strikes Back or something that specifically like shows his lightsaber in a box in his hut in Dagobah. And like the explanation is he has more than one lightsaber. But this section right here caused so much stupid controversy.
That blows my mind. Because, okay, first of all, I thought the whole point of the Kyber crystal thing was that when you're like a young Padawan or whatever, you go to the fucking planet and you go look for your crystal and it's like a whole ceremony bullshit thing. And you're like, oh, I have the one crystal that I'm ever going to fucking get. And then it's like, okay, great. This is special to me. And now you're telling me that there's just multiple crystals all the time and everybody can just get one whenever they fucking feel like it.
Well, presumably you would have to go through the gathering multiple times. Like if you lose your lightsaber.
Right. Yeah.
Or it's, like, presumably they have ways set up here to, like,
I guess
have you go back and do it again if you need to.
I guess,
like, you wouldn't
true.
Go like in class, you would just like go
whenever you feel like it.
Go whenever, like, you feel like it. Yeah. Presumably Yoda in 900 years at some point has done this multiple times.
I guess that's true. Also, like, Ahsoka has 2 lightsabers, so even when she was a young Padawan, you know what I mean? So I guess
she presumably got
Yeah, a second one at some point.
But even hers get like fucked with, because there's like, she has the lightsabers and then Anakin turns them blue, even though in the Ahsoka novel they're green, and that was another controversial thing when the Clone Wars trailer came out. Would it surprise you, Bradley, to learn that Star Wars fans are a nitpicky bunch of assholes?
I believe it, honestly. I didn't think so before, but now.
I know, in 2 years of making the show, you've never encountered.
Never encountered that before. But now that you've told me that Yoda has more than one lightsaber,
More than one lightsaber. In 900 years, he got more than one lightsaber.
Sure, great. I love it.
The amount of consternation this
caused. My headcanon is that Mos Amita made a fake lightsaber that looked like Yoda's lightsaber to spread propaganda and be like, look, Yoda's lightsaber is being burned, and then he threw a fake one in there, and then they
that's also an explanation. Here's my thing. So I've just spent the last 5 minutes making fun of how stupid this controversy was. I'm gonna get serious for a minute. Here's one of my things with Star Wars. Is one, it's a mythology, not a history. Not everything is going to line up. That's how mythology works. We can't all be Rick Riordan and make it make sense. Two, I feel like Star Wars fans, when they're confronted with something that doesn't make sense like this, they rush to call it an error instead of trying to apply any sort of creative logic as to why things might be the way they are. Like, this is just a broad Star Wars fandom issue that Yoda's lightsaber gets destroyed in 19 BBY, whenever this is taking place, it's one of them. And then Luke magically has it again in 10 ABY, or whenever the fuck the shows are taking place. So rather than apply our brains and say, gosh, I wonder if he maybe has more than one, or the one that was destroyed was a fake. Nope. Canon error. Canon's broken. Disney, Star Wars, bad and woke. Fire Kathleen Kennedy.
Instantly.
And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Like, apply, not that serious.
It's not that serious. Apply the most basic bit of creative thinking. Right. And I'm sure you can come up with a reason why.
Yeah, I do that people, literally all the time. I literally come up with fake reasons for Star Wars all the time that I just want to agree with. Like,
they're called headcanons. Use them. They're fun.
Yeah.
My God, you people bend over fucking backwards to tell me how Starkiller can work in the new canon.
Right.
He can't, is my hot take, but it just doesn't work for me. But y'all can bend over backwards to pitch that, but you can't work out why a 900-year-old Jedi might have more than one lightsaber, or something might not be going on that's different than what we necessarily are presented at face value. Whatever. Shut up. That's my extended rant on the Yoda's lightsaber of it all. Do you have any notes on issue one that you particularly want to talk about?
No, I think that's pretty much everything. I just thought that, actually, I thought the Kyber crystal kind of ceremony or whatever was very interesting. And then when it kind of exploded into this giant theoretical lightsaber beacon, almost as like almost like a memorial. Like, it was really funny how what they were doing was trying to be like, oh, we're burning the books, or we're burning the lightsabers, you know, in a sense. And then it's like, no, you just created this like beacon of light for the Jedi. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was very interesting how that all kind of, they all culminated into one big giant Kyber laser.
I fucking love this scene. Like, for so many reasons, I fucking love this scene. Because it is like a book burning. Like, that's what's going on here. It's deliberately meant to invoke that. It's meant to invoke this fascist state and the fact that everyone is cheering for it. The fact that this crowd has gathered and Mos Amita is giving this speech about how we will no longer be beholden to the tyranny of the Jedi. Meanwhile, Palpatine's over here going, they think they know power, but we know real power. And like, it also like ties into the broader theme of it. Because, like, it's not just in there for shock value. Right. There's a point that's being made because Vader turns to Palpatine and says, I could have gone and just go bled any of those. Like, I could have grabbed a random fucking Kyber crystal off of that and bled it. You want me to go kill a Jedi? And it turns into this moment, this teachable moment, this dark reflection of a teachable moment between the characters, which I love. I love so much. Issue number two, Vader steals a ship at the end of the last issue. He jets off to a floating Jedi temple in space where there are some clone troopers. Vader decides to murder them for no other reason than because he feels like it. Fights his way through and finds Jedi that have taken something called the Barash Vel. And one of these Jedi that he manages to locate, he decides to go and get lightsaber from a gentleman named Kriak Infila. Do you have any specific notes you want to get into for issue two?
I love the little robot slash navigator droid in his ship who looks almost like an Imperial probe droid, like headpiece kind of thing, but it's like attached to the ship and it's just like kind of assassing him the whole time. He's kind of like, so I have the clearance codes, like just let me transmit them and then this will all be fine. And then Darth Vader's just like, nah, dude, let me just do some murder. Like I'm just feeling it right now. And he's like, no, I have the codes. Like I can give you the code, please. Just let me transmit them. I'm like, why would you not just do it? Like, he's like,
you know
waiting
what it's
for permission.
Hold on. You know what it's giving? You know what this droid is giving me? It looks like you're trying to break into a Jedi Temple outpost that clone troopers are at. Would you like some help with that? It's giving the fucking Microsoft Office paperclip.
He really is. I mean, he was so funny.
We looked at our demographics, and a lot of our listeners are under the age of 22. So for our listeners who maybe weren't around for other earlier iterations of Microsoft Office before we all used Google Docs instead, Microsoft Office used to have this little clip like mascot. It looks like a paperclip with googly eyes. And every time you would do something, it would occasionally pop up with, I see you're trying to write a letter. Would you like help formatting that? I see you are trying to make a table. Would you like help with that? That's what this is giving me.
I feel that.
All of our listeners over the age of 25 just laughed a lot at that joke. There was some interesting stuff in here. I noted a few sort of minor, the 2017 of it all. Particularly, there's a line in there where one of the clones mentions they shut down the cloning facilities on Kamino, which we know is
right.
Timeline-ish kind of weird. Like, because this is happening at the same time as the first episode of Bad Batch. Like, it's implied to be happening, like, right, either the first episode of Bad Batch or the second, but they haven't really shut them down yet. Right. So this is like the 2017 of it all. The Bad Batch hadn't come out yet. So I did note that. There's a little bit of that you have to do with these comics, but it's not nearly as bad as the Ahsoka novel. But I just noted that. This is also the first mention of something called the Barash Vel. Were you able to kind of pick up what the Barash Vel is?
So from my understanding, it's like if you leave the Jedi Order, but like you're still in good standing, but you want to do this thing where you're like, I don't know, be a monk, but like not follow the religion. I don't know. It was kind of confusing, but I feel like I kind of get it.
So the way it works is if you fuck up like super hard, like unbelievably, incredibly hard, and particularly you're having a crisis of faith. So you tried to follow the Force. You made some terrible mistake. You can take this Barash Vel, and what it essentially does is that you forswear any involvement with the Jedi Order whatsoever. You don't stop being a Jedi, you just basically forswear involvement with the Order, and you go off to commune with the Force. You can do it for the rest of your life, you can do it for a set period of time, you can do it until you feel like you have fixed whatever wasn't causing the issue that caused you to make that mistake in the first place. It's a really big deal for somebody to do it. It's not done very often, but that's essentially what it is. That's why this Jedi, Kriak, says later on, I consider my Barash Vel over, my exile over, because the Jedi have all been slaughtered. That's what that is. The Barash Vel actually dates back to the early High Republic era. It's named after Barash Sylvain. Barash Sylvain is cordially invited to repeatedly step on my neck until it breaks. Bradley... I love when Bradley rolls his eyes, because here's the thing about Bradley rolling his eyes, listener. He doesn't roll them around. They flick up. Like, it looks like he's, like, descending into a trance, because they, like, flick directly upwards into the back of his head and flutter for a minute, and then return to their position. It's so bizarre looking on the camera.
It looks like the Force.
It looks like he's fucking communing with the Force or some shit. But yes, if you are a High Republic reader, particularly Phase 2, and you remember Barash Sylvain and the ending of the Blade comic, this is the first canonical mention of the Barash Vow that was named after her. So issues 3 and 4 I am combining into one thing, because effectively they are two parts. Vader finds the Jedi Master. Vader fights the Jedi Master. The Jedi Master makes Vader climb up a mountain and then dumps him off the mountain. And that is issue 3. Issue 4, the Jedi runs down to town and is like, I need my ship, but the ship is not repaired. So we meet a plucky little family that's surely adorable. And if you're a Dark Side Divas listener, then you'll recognize this counter when I say, ding on the, I really like this character. I hope they survive the issue counter. Adorable little family, but Vader turns up on top of this large dam that overlooks the town for some fucking reason. Even though there's mountains right there, they just decided to build the town down under the dam. Whatever, we don't have time to get into that. They fight more. Vader gets the lightsaber. Vader breaks the dam, kills all of the people for no fucking reason other than to just be an asshole, and kills the Jedi and fucks off. He's gone. The only note that I have for issues 3 and 4 is I want to talk about this Jedi.
Okay.
Kriik and Fila and his whole fucking dumbass bullshit. Because this man really genuinely believes, like full ass believes with his whole chest, that Vader is just gonna hurt him. And never mind that he went to the town. He thought Vader was dead, but like he went there and he was involving the local people. Like right. He had already involved them when he left his ship with them. Like he really thought Vader was gonna leave them alone and was genuinely surprised when he didn't. And I'm like, you have not encountered many Darksiders, have you?
Yeah, because he even talks to his robot, or sorry, his droid, and the droid, he's like, I'm not sure if it's a Sith or not, but I mean, he's fucking angry, so who knows what he could be. And it's like, so you know that he's unstable, at least. Like
you know he's unstable, taps into right. The dark side, and just tried to fucking murder you.
Right.
Do you not think that, like, he's gonna pull some bullshit like this? I guess the implication is supposed to be that, one, this guy doesn't know Vader very well. He's just assumed he's become overconfident. Right. His overconfidence is his weakness, and his pride was his weakness. And that ended up getting him killed and kind of got a lot of people killed. I'm not gonna blame him totally, because he did, one, he thought Vader was dead, and also, two, he had no way that this was going to happen when he left the ship with those people. But his genuine surprise was something that was very interesting to me. When he was kind of like, no, the fight's between us. And Vader was like, oh, that's so cute that you think that.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
I do think, though, it's weird. My weird thing about this whole, you know, Vader breaking the dam and murdering the whole town kind of thing is that I just don't know if I believe the characterization of Vader yet to be that vindictive and murderous and like this early on, just because he just doesn't like have a purpose for doing it. I don't know. I don't see the reasoning behind it other than he's being an asshole. Like he's just doing it to do it. Like he just kills the clones to kill the clones. He just kills the town to kill the town. Like there's no motivation other than he's just mad. Like I don't quite understand that characterization yet. Like I would get it later on if he had been like, you know, Palpatine had kind of put him through some ringers, but right now he really just made him, and then it was just kind of like, okay, you know, you're just getting used to your body and that's why you can't defeat this guy. So I get that aspect, that characterization, like, oh, he's not as strong in his new body, he's not used to it, but or his new suit and his robot suit. I don't know. I just don't quite get. I don't believe the Vader would be a murderous, vindictive person for no reason all of a sudden.
I agree, but we'll get into specifically why I agree in the next issue. But I will say, now that I think about it, all of the people we've seen Vader, if we're looking at the Revenge of the Sith story up through this, because this directly follows, all the people up to this point we've seen Vader killing are people he has thought needed to die. That is, yes, he kills the younglings at the Jedi Temple. He genuinely believed that all of the Jedi needed to be exterminated. He was not doing that just for the evils. He wipes out the Separatists because he genuinely believes they need to be wiped out. He wipes out the clones. Okay, that one was just for the evils, but they are clones. technically they are the bad guys at this point. I do feel a little bad when they get murdered, but it's a little more morally ambiguous.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard for me to go justify the Clone Wars because they're technically still on the side of the Empire. They are, you know,
and they're clearly not brainwashed in this either. They're written to be like, yeah, we knew about the chips, but we didn't know, we didn't have the Bad Batch. So we didn't have that characterization of the clones.
Right.
This, they're bantering, they're talking.
And they're just like, it's another day at the office.
Moment. They bitch about the assignment. And yeah, like, they're faceless and they have the white and we're supposed to associate them with the bad guys by this point in the story. But yeah, you're right. Even that one kind of rings hollow. So when Vader's like, yeah, let me murder all these people real quick for no reason, he just decides he's going to do it. Yeah, that one does ring a little bit hollow. And they're for a particular reason that we'll get to in the next issue. But I found the Jedi an interesting in that, the little bit that we get. We see that he's very prideful. We know that he's made some mistake that led him to take the Barash vow, but even taking the vow, we see that he's very confident in his abilities. He's putting together the four Padawan traps at the same time as he's fighting, which is kind of Worf affecting it a little bit. We're supposed to see that he's very formidable, so Vader's going to kick his ass later. But I at least found him interesting for the two issues. I'm going to have to get used to saying issues. I'm used to saying
episodes. Yeah, it's hard to say.
Fucking Christ. Issue number 5. Palpatine is like, go to Mustafar because teehee, I'm evil, fuck you. Also, it's a nexus of dark side energy. Haha, I wonder why I picked it for the separatist base and also to keep the force sensitive children. Teehee, I am evil. And then Vader goes and he's bleeding the crystal and he has this vision of him going back with the green lightsaber and killing Palpatine and then going to find Obi-Wan and seeking his forgiveness. But then Vader actively rejects this in favor of wallowing in his own self-pity and wallowing in his own misery and self-inflicted pain. And it is all his fault. I cannot possibly stress this enough, that he is actively choosing when he has the chance to not do this. He actively chooses to do this, thinking about how much he's lost and how miserable and sad he is, and listening to Linkin Park, sitting in his room alone, dressed in black, dyeing his hair, and it eventually corrupts the crystal to be red and has a red lightsaber now. And I believe it is also this issue, Tarkin briefly shows up to talk about how the Death Star will totally be completed on schedule. Going straight into it, I do want to say this was what made those last three issues, the cruelty, ring a bit hollow to me. This should have been the moment where it started, because this is one of the moments where Anakin slash where Vader has the chance to become Anakin again, where he has the chance to let go of Vader. He has the chance to do the right thing. He has the chance to make it right, and he actively rejects it. That should have been the point where we got the murdering civilians. Should have been after this. That's why I think it was kind of an issue to me, because this should have been the emotional climax of the arc. We should have seen Vader holding back and not committing, and this should have been the moment where he committed.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, because the fact that the crystal shows him a vision of like, hey, if you were to just go back and kill Palpatine, atone for your sins, go find Obi-Wan, and just, you would literally make everything right again by doing that. You can literally be fine if you just go atone for your sins and just go beg for forgiveness from Obi-Wan. Like, it's all gonna be fine. Just here's what you got to do. And he actively, like you said, he actively just goes, nah, it's too late.
He says no.
Yeah, he's like, nah.
He says the word no out loud.
No.
No.
No, but he's he literally just goes, yeah, you know what? It's just too late. But it's like, no, it's literally not too late. Yeah, you just murdered a bunch of more people, but still, like, let's focus on the good parts, and all you gotta do is kill Palpatine, you'll be fine. Like,
but babes, there's no point that's too late. And even the vision in the crystal, like, we see a little bit, because it wouldn't have been the Jedi way to go in and kill Palpatine. It shouldn't have been the Jedi way to go in and kill Palpatine. Kind of, depending. Charles Soule does some really interesting things with what it means to be a Jedi. And there's a line, and I remember it specifically because the Divas just did Light of the Jedi, and there's a line that specifically Loden Greatstorm is thinking about a situation he's currently in. I don't have time to explain it. And he basically says, Jedi will try to save as many lives as possible. However, there comes a point where you start ranking them. And you start prioritizing the innocents over the people who just tossed a child out of a ship. And it's sort of this interesting way that Soul kind of explores how you can do the right but not stupid thing while still being a Jedi. And I think there's an argument to be made that going in and taking out the Dark Lord of the Sith does not violate any sort of Jedi code. But on the other hand, the fact that he thought about doing that first and then going and finding Obi-Wan, that says some things about Vader's psyche at this point.
Right, because like, theoretically, if he had decided, okay, I'm going to do the right thing, he should seek out forgiveness from Obi-Wan first, then be like, hey, let's team up and go after Palpatine together and end this once and for all. Like, that would be the Jedi thing to do. I think more so the Jedi thing to do. And then, but his first instinct is, nah, murder.
Exactly. Keep in mind, put a pin in. As we move on to the next issue, put a pin in Mustafar here and the whole locus of dark side energy thing. This will be relevant in a later story arc.
Okay.
This will come back. Issue number 6, the final issue of The Chosen One. Palpatine's like, hey, Vader, good job. You can fix your suit to make it more in line with what you want. Also, go to this library for some reason. And Vader does it and runs into a mysterious figure who's wandering around trying to get access to the books. Surprise! It's a Palin who duels Vader and has a spinny lightsaber and does dark side stuff. And Vader fights him for a little bit and then is like, yeah, I'm just testing my suit, eat shit, pummels him into the fucking ground, is about to murder him. And Palpatine is like, hey, buddy, hey, my bestest friend. So don't kill that guy. He's the Grand Inquisitor. Also, I totally put together without telling you this whole little like subsect of dark side fusers and former Jedi who are gonna help you hunt down the Jedi. You're in charge of them now. Go nuts. And then we meet many Inquisitors. We'll get to all of them in a minute. And Vader's like, damn, I got some Inquisitors. I got my red lightsaber. Let's hunt down some Jedi. I'm sure there's some that are alive to hunt. Smash cut to a Jedi in a cave doing stuff. It's Jocasta Nu, the librarian. She's still fucking alive. End of issue, end of arc, tease for the next one. Yay. I really like that Vader has autonomy over his suit in canon. He didn't in Legends. At least so far as I remember, that the suit was deliberately designed to be uncomfortable. In order to fuck with him to make him more angry all the time. So I like that Palpatine brings up a point. I mean, you were an engineer. You should get to fuck around with this suit and be an optimal killing machine.
Whatever works for you.
Whatever works for you. So, Bradley, what did you think of our introduction to the Grand Inquisitor and his motivations of just wanting to read restricted books that bitch Jocasta Nu wouldn't let him access?
So I love that out there, I'm sure, there is a story brewing about a young little Grand Inquisitor who went to the library one time, tried to get into the restricted section, and then Jocasta Nu said, no, you can't do that. So he drank some polyjuice potion and he snuck in and he went into the restricted section anyway.
Christ.
And I'm just kidding. No, but there's...
Fuck J.K. Rowling, crossover. By the way. It is the official stance that fuck J.K. Rowling and her turfy bullshit.
No, but I think I love that the Grand Inquisitor is just a nerd who just wanted him. He just wanted to knowledge. That's really his only crime, is that he wanted to gain more knowledge that the Jedi were restricting him from learning, which we did when we were reading about Rise of the Red Blade. You know, that's a very powerful, it's a normal theme that keeps being run through with these Inquisitors. No, but I love that he just wanted to know more. He just wanted to know things. And then it's kind of like they were just telling him like, nah, that's too dangerous, or you can't read that, or that's not good enough, or blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, finally, someone's giving me permission to do this. And then all of a sudden, you got this asshole come in, try to kill you while you're trying to read books. And Palpatine just doesn't say anything. He's like, oh yeah, I forgot that you were coming. My bad. Whoops.
Gosh, I just forgot to mention that.
I just didn't, you know, I just forgot to tell my attack dog that you were coming in.
Whoops. No, I love this characterization for him. I think it's really interesting. I think it's interesting he didn't necessarily want, like, dark knowledge. He just wanted access and felt entitled to it. Like, I'm sure there were reasons that Jocasta Nu looked at him and was like, no, no. But he felt entitled to this. He felt like he should have access to it. And so Inquisitor Rise of the Red Babe will later note he was one of three Inquisitors to not have to be tortured into it. Right. His desire, do you know what I just keep thinking over and over again whenever I hear he was trying to get into the restricted texts? Do you remember video stores?
Yes.
Okay, so for our audience who...
I only know one because I'm not that old, but I only know the main one.
So you used to have like... video stores, and this would be like your Blockbuster. In my case, it was a chain called Family Video that we used to rent a whole bunch of TV shows and movies from. Usually the same three movies. You can probably guess which ones. But they used to have the main store. And then the tiny little bit in the back, they would have an 18 plus section.
Oh.
Yes. A lot of these stores.
So not Blockbuster.
At least the Family Video had an 18 plus section.
Ironic. For sure. Go for it.
Yeah. Hilarious. For an outlet called Family Video. Look, it's got to have something for like the college student and the family.
Of course. Of course.
It, you know, it's Family Video. The adults are also there. Right. But I just keep thinking about the Grand Inquisitor wanting to get into the 18 plus room at the back of the Family Video.
Right.
That's so funny to me as a characterization.
I love it.
Not because he's like into it. He wants into the room. It's not about the content. He just wants that access. I just think that's really quite funny. We meet some Inquisitors. Now I'm doing this off the top of my head, so bear with me. But I think that the Inquisitors that we see, if I'm remembering correct, are the one from the Ahsoka novel, which is, I believe, the sixth brother, I want to say. We have the fifth brother, the seventh sister. We have the eighth brother. And then we also have the ninth sister.
Yes, I think that's all of them.
Masana Tide, I believe we have. I believe that's all the ones we see in this issue other than the Grand Inquisitor. So this is what that one Inquisitor that looks like he's wearing like a weird metal grate. Not the eighth brother, but the one that's like half a metal grate that's covering right. like part of his face. That's the one from the Ahsoka novel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Turns up here.
Okay, cool.
So there's some Inquisitors, Bradley.
I know. I love it. I love these. I love how they're just like, hey, Darth Vader, by the way, here's some evil Power Rangers that we have just on standby. They're just gonna help you murder people.
I like how he walks in and the Inquisitors are like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, they're like, well, who's this guy?
They're like, hi. So this is Vader. He's coming from New York to be your new manager.
Right.
He will be taking over the personnel. There's going to be a couple of shifts in how we do things in order to go along with his management style.
Right.
But you should probably do what he says or he will fucking murder you.
I like that. And the little, not the tease for Jocasta Nu, but the actual tease for the next issue, they always put it at like the very end, like the they put the poster at the end and it's Vader in the middle of all the Inquisitors. And I was like, oh, this is going to get very interesting very quickly.
Did you figure out, Bradley, why I picked this comic series for us to go through together?
You know, I just don't know. I just don't have a single, or I don't have a fifth reason. I don't have a fourth reason. I don't have a ninth reason. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's important. Important to note too, like when this was coming out, these issues were coming out in 2017, June through October 2017. So to put this in a little bit of perspective, here is some of the other things that released in 2017. Star Wars The Last Jedi, notably released in 2017. And we were on season 3 of Rebels. It looks like just going through. We were getting our Rogue One tie-ins, a few of them. These are the main things I can see that at least when this arc was written, that's where we were. We were in about season 3 of Rebels. We were gearing up to The Last Jedi, which was going to come out toward the end of the year. And that's what was happening.
That makes a lot of sense.
So I don't know, when did Fallen Order come out? Let me see. Fallen Order, this is the thing Charles didn't research. Fallen Order would not come out for another 2 years.
So they introduced the Ninth Sister here first.
Yes. So this was Darth Vader number 6 was the first appearance of Mesaana Tide, aka the Ninth Sister, a full 2 years prior to Jedi Fallen Order coming out.
Now, conspiracy theory, I don't know how long it takes to make video games, but I would assume that they were either creating her beforehand and then they were like, hey, we want to put her in this comic book too, why not, because this will come out eventually, and then this video game she's in like is also going to come out, so like let's just throw some Inquisitor stuff in here too. I don't know, I feel like she would have had to be created before in the video game world before she would have been in the comic book world, because I feel like that it would take longer for the video game to be made than it would of the comic.
So the game was first announced on May 4th, 2016. So it was at least in the early stages of development in 2016.
So then, yeah, I'm sticking with my conspiracy theory.
I think your conspiracy theory is probably right.
They knew about it.
They were developing, they knew she was going to be, so chances are good they were developing this Inquisitor character for the game, and that at the same time they went over to Charles Soule and was like, hey, we're going to have this Inquisitor, you can put her in early. There's going to be this other Inquisitor, do not put her in, but
right,
this one you
important.
Can have.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I think the other one is, she's integral to the plot. The other one's just kind of like, the Ninth Sister's just kind of there.
Yes. And you are familiar with the plot of Fallen Order, I don't think I've ever played it.
I've never played it, and I vaguely know the plot. I don't, like, I've never watched the whole cinematic throughout, but I've watched, like, the first 15 minutes of it.
Mesaana Tide,
like, all of it.
Mesaana Tide is not, like, super important to the plot.
Gotcha. She's just a cool thing.
Yeah, she's just, like, a cool thing that is there. But yes, she appeared here first. And then we got Jocasta Nu, which I was delighted to see when I first read this.
I saw that and I was like, wait a minute. Hold on now. Didn't I, couple reviews back or something, I said something about Jocasta Nu and Grogu, and I was saying something about how wouldn't it be cool if Jocasta Nu was the one that saved him? And I was like, did she even survive?
I knew this comic existed the whole time.
Exactly. So I was like, well, now the fact that you knew that she was alive this whole time and you didn't say anything. Well, for now it looks like. I don't know.
For now. She's not in the original movies.
Right. So there you go.
She's not in anything else. We're going to see how long she lasts for this world.
Not them. Watch them like retcon her being in like Andor. She's like randomly going to be in Andor.
Well, because here's the difference. Because Tony Gilroy clearly goes and talks to the story group.
Right.
And certain other people are a little nebulous on whether or not they have conversations on whether or not a thing has already been done or needs to be addressed.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying certain people that make Star Wars shows currently can't read, but that is directly what I'm saying. Well, no, they can read some.
They can read, they just choose not to look at certain other things.
We'll get to that when SAG-AFTRA gets a fair deal and we get to talk about things that
I
we
like
will
it.
Do. Well, Bradley, that was arc one of Darth Vader. Do you have any final thoughts for us on The Chosen One?
Well, you know, I'm excited to see where this goes. I mean, I love that they've teased Inquisitors. They've teased Jocasta Nu. So who knows where that's going? I love that the Inquisitors have shown up, because that means that shit's about to go down. That's what I love about Inquisitors. So knowing what I know from Red Blade and then reading this now, I think may or may not have helped me. I don't know. I feel like it's like a decent like a prequel almost. Like I know that this takes place before Red Blade, but it's just interesting that like I've read Red Blade and now I'm reading this, and so it'll give more context to Red Blade, I feel like, once I finish this.
We'll get there. We'll get there in one of the later arcs. So my final thought is that I think The Chosen One was off to a good start. I think I appreciate what Soule is trying to do, and he really understands the devil's in the details. The conversations with Palpatine are perfect. The bit on Mustafar is an incredible bit of character development. I thought the Inquisitorious is very interesting. Soule is very good at these things. It, thus far, the comic is a comic about Darth Vader, but I wouldn't say Darth Vader is necessarily the driving force of the plot in it. It's things that are happening to him.
Right.
So we'll see if that changes by the end of this particular 25 issue run, because spoiler alert, I've already read all 25 issues. I already know what happens in them. So it's off to at least a very good start. And I know for a fact Charles Soule is a good writer, so I'm buckled in to go through the rest of this journey. We will be covering this comic series regardless of what happens for the next between 5 and 6 weeks. Tentatively, we are slated for 5. However, the final 2 arcs, Burning Seas, which is another 5-issue arc, and then Fortress Vader, which is 7 issues to get through. One or both of these may have to be split up. We will know when we get there. But for next week, we will be covering arc number 2, The Dying Light, parts 1 through 4. If you're reading along with us, that's issues 7 through 10. Alrighty. Well, we made it through the first comics episode, Bradley.
Sure did.
Sure did. We will see people next week. Hopefully we will see a Fair Saga After a Deal next week, but I don't think that's gonna happen because God hates me. Roll the credits.
Thank you for listening to Gold Squadron Gaze. Did Charles fuck something up? Send us a message at goldsquadrongaze@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Gold Squad Gaze. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Gold Squadron Gaze. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Gold Squadron Gaze, where we post the podcast as well as exclusive content. Please join us next week and every week for more of Gold Squadron Gaze.
Have you been seeing his shit recently?
It's gonna be a banger album, I can already tell.
What is this late 20s twink doing?
It's hypersexual. It's great.
It's first he has this whole song named after fucking poppers.
Right.
Then he does that fucking new video or whatever where he's like shaking his ass in it. And now he's got this song all about like hooking all of his straight friend can like come hook up with him if he feels like Troy, I am so fascinated by what this man is doing.